Gonna sing it. Okay. In my home, doubts and fears through every pain. Every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, God was faithful to me. Every word he promised is true. When I thought it was impossible, I've seen my God do. He's been faithful to me. Just looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I've questioned and I've failed to believe, but he's been faithful. To me, when my heart looked away, though many times I could not pray, still my God, he was faithful to me. The days I spent so selfishly, looking out for what pleased me, even then God was faithful to me. Every time I come back to him, oh, I see him with open arms, and I know once again he's been faithful, faithful to me. Just looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, that he's been faithful, faithful. Oh, telling you, there's something about that, knowing that God is faithful.
Yes. Yes.
even in the times that we don't feel very faithful. And if you're a Christian and you've been walking this walk very long, you know what I'm talking about. There's times in our lives that we get stuck in the mud and we can't seem to find our way. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. It's a part of life. We go through things. Yep. Hallelujah. The enemy comes in like a flood to try to destroy us. But we know God. We know His ways. Amen. We know that He is for us and not against us. Amen. Yes. All right. So the Lord laid it on my heart to take a beatitude. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. Out of Matthew chapter 5, I chose verse 6 because that was the verse that the Lord said do. The verse says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So we're going to break it down tonight just a little bit, and we're going to start with hunger. Blessed are they which do hunger. Sometimes we ask, well, what does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? And how can this beatitude be applied to our lives? Well, we're going to talk about that. Hunger is a compelling need or a desire for food. That's real easy. Sometimes it's a painful sensation or a state of weakness caused by the need of food. Now, we live in America. Guess what? We don't really get that hungry. No. We really don't. We got food in our cabinets. We got canned goods in our cupboards. Food in our refrigerator. Very seldom are we going to get hungry. But we're going to look at it from a spiritual aspect tonight. When we do get hungry, our body starts talking to us and our stomach starts growling. We know all of this. And you know what it's saying? Feed me. Feed me. I'm hungry. My stomach's growling. I hadn't ate in a while. That's just what's going to happen. Then we start thinking, and if you're married or even if you've got dogs in your house, then we start thinking about what we're going to eat. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter if you're by yourself or with somebody else or you got a mate. It doesn't matter. Because guess what happens then? We start thinking about what are we going to eat. And oh my, the million-dollar question in every household when there's two is, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? And so what do we do for the next 30 minutes to an hour? Try to decide, what are we going to eat? I don't know. I don't know. What are we going to eat? Everybody, does anybody have that problem in your house? Now, if you live alone, Daniel, it might happen in your house. But when there's two or more, it's going to happen. But I'll tell you why we eat. We eat to satisfy our hunger. Whether it's real hunger or whether it's just because it's the first meal, second meal, third meal of the day. It don't matter. Or the snack at night before you go to bed. We eat because we're hungry, because we want something. In John chapter 6, verse 35, it says, "I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger." There's a condition there. He that comes to me shall never hunger. You got to go to the source. You got to go to the Lord. And he that believes on me shall never thirst. Hallelujah. That's a promise. Just a few verses down to 48, it says, he says, "I am the bread of life." I, talking about Jesus, I am the bread of life. Down three more verses from there, it says, "I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he will live forever. So guess what? We got to eat the bread. We got to drink the water that he provides. And in some places it says the wine. So my question is how much do you hunger after God? How much do you hunger for his word? How much do we really hunger for his presence in this house and in this house? It's not just about this house. If it don't happen in this house first, it ain't going to happen in this house. That's the way it is. So there was an old chorus that we used to sing years and years ago, and I hope this microphone's not too loud for me to sing it in here, but it's, we're so hungry for your glory, for your presence in this place, here and here. Holy Spirit, come and fill us as we gather in your name, surrounded by a sweet perfume. Your awesome presence fills this room. Standing in your glory's mist, captivated by your kiss. So let the weight of your glory hover here. Come and change the atmosphere and breathe on us and breathe on us. That is such a sweet, sweet chorus. I want the glory of God manifested in this house in a greater way than we've seen for many years. Let me just say it that way. Hallelujah. So now we're going to go to thirst. And right now I'm going to take a drink. I'm sorry. I had lost my voice a couple weeks ago, and it's still not perfect, but it's getting there. Thirst. The definition of thirst is a sensation of dryness in the mouth, no brainer, and the throat caused by a need of liquid. It's also a strong or eager desire or craving for drink. You know, my question is, what is your first craving when it comes to drink? Is it water? Is it coffee? Is it Coke? Sometimes I don't even drink Cokes, and sometimes and not necessarily Coca-Cola, sometimes I just want a Coke so bad. You know, I like Pepsi better than Coke, but usually drink Sprite because it don't have caffeine and I won't be up all night. There you go. So, you know, we all get thirsty, our mouth gets dry. Sometimes it feels like we got cotton inside our mouth. We just think, oh, I have got to get a drink, you know. Well, we drink to satisfy our thirst. That's why we drink, because we're thirsty. And our bodies have to have food and water to live. We're not going to be able to sustain life if we don't eat and we don't drink. water. I don't mean drink, you know. Never mind what I meant. Ah. Psalms 42:1 says, as the hart, and that is an adult deer. Some version says deer. As the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul panteth after the Lord. And when Linda and I were little, just kids running through the church, you know, having a good old time because it's two of us and we could get in trouble. That's how I feel about panting. That when David said, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth for thee, O God. My soul longs to be in your presence. My soul wants to hear your word and receive it and apply it to my life. David said in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And I think in certain circumstances and in certain situations, we have all felt that. We have felt that longing to be close to God. We have felt that longing to drink from the river or the waters of living life, of living water, because there's life in it. Isaiah 55:1 said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye buy and eat.
Yes.
He said, come. Come as you are. He didn't say dress up and get all fancy. He didn't say do that. He said, come as you are. We put too much emphasis on this outside appearance.
Yeah.
He said, come as you are.
That's right.
And you're going to come. And he said, he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. And you think, how are you going to buy? How are you going to eat anything? Well, it doesn't matter how that happens, because he said, just come. If you're thirsty, come.
Amen.
And so many times we got our minds hooked on everything else of the world and what we're going to do after church or what we're going to do tomorrow. And we forget to take that daily time and sit before the Lord and read His Word.
Yeah.
And say, Lord, open my heart. Open my spirit, God. Flood me with your goodness, your mercy, your love, your righteousness.
Yes.
Cover me. We need that. In Revelation 21:6, he said, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.
Yes.
You don't have to bring money. It's not about money. It's about just coming to the Lord. Salvation don't require money. It didn't cost me anything that day at a Good News Club when I was 9 years old. And she says, do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? And I said, no. And she led me in that prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. That I can be made whole and be your servant. You know, I don't remember what she said. I'm just saying it. it's been too many years since I was 9. But salvation don't require money. It don't require power. It does not require position. You're not going to get it that way. It don't require prestige. It's a free gift from God. It's free. So my next question, number 2, is how much do you thirst after God? How much do you thirst for His Word? How much do you thirst for His presence? I got another little song we used to sing. I want to drink of the river of life. I want to live and dwell in your presence. I want to drink from the river of life. Fill me with fresh oil. Fill me with wine. That's all scriptural. I'm telling you, I want to drink of the river of life. And you know, there's been times when we've gone out of town and we've actually ended up by a stream, or even when we was on that cruise in the ocean, I would just look outside there and I could just see the rivers of life flowing right there. You know, we saw a few dolphins, not very many, but we saw a few things that would come up out of the water and go back down. You know, we don't realize the beauty that God has made for us in this world. But we've got to be hungry and thirsty for God to be filled. We have to. If we're not hungry, we're not going to move forward. We can't move forward if we're not hungry and thirsty.
That's right.
Okay, the next part of this scripture, we already did hunger and thirst. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. A simple definition of that is right standing with God. That's what it means, right standing with God. But I did look it up in my dictionary, Tony. Righteousness means, and it's kind of long, means acting in accord with divine or moral law and being morally right. It's the quality of being righteous or just. It's a virtue of integrity that leads to a sense of fulfillment and an alignment with higher standards of morality, equality, compassion, justice, and forgiveness. You can't be righteous if you're not doing all of that. You can't. We must desire and move toward, or run after, or chase after, Brandon's favorite word, chase, after righteousness. We have to. It's got to be a goal up there as a prize, and I'm going to run toward that prize.
Yeah.
It's in the Word. I didn't put that scripture in here, but I should have, I guess. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's a hard one right there. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. They're dirty. They need washing. This is talking about me. All my righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The only thing I could think of after I read that scripture is we're here today and gone tomorrow. The life of the lifespan of a man, according to the Word of God, is like 70 years, which means 70. Well, Gordon's already 70. Brother Hall's gonna fix to be 70. You know, and when you think about it, it gets kind of scary. You think, well, if the span of a man's life is 70 years, we know people that live to be 100. They were blessed. They were blessed. We all know that God is the potter and we are the clay. And we need to pray every day, Lord, mold me and make me a vessel of honor. We're all vessels. We're all a vessel. I don't know what shape it is. You know, I don't know. But I know that I'm a vessel. And I'm either going to be a vessel of honor or I'm going to be a vessel of dishonor. And I pray, Lord, mold me and make me after your way so that I, Brenda Faye North, will be a vessel of honor. It's not about you, it's not about me. But I hope you pray the same prayer. Lord, make me a vessel of honor. I want to be pleasing in your sight. We used to sing that same song too. Oh, I can't sing them all. So, because I already have one more. Matthew 5, verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we know the scribes and Pharisees was always, look at me, look at what I'm doing. I'm going to give the money to the poor. Can you see me do this? Watch me do this. Yeah. It's not about that. No. You can go feed, and I say this nicely, you can go feed those on the street, but don't take glory to yourself. You can't. The glory belongs to the Lord. The glory belongs that if he gives you the strength to go out there and take food, you don't have to tell nobody that you've done that act. Because if you do, that's your reward. That's the way it is. I really wanted to go. But I hadn't been with my family for a long time, and I had to have family time last Sunday. Matthew 6, 1 and 2 says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. If you're doing it for somebody to see you, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet. Can you imagine? Don't sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Well, we like those pats on the back. We all do. Let's be honest. We all like somebody to say, you did a good job. We all like it. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that alms may be in secret, and your Father, which is in secret himself, shall reward you openly. Wow, that's good. Romans 12:3 says, for a man not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So how much do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You know, as growing up, it's easy when the teacher comes over there and scolds you and says, now, Marshall, did you look on your neighbor's paper and get the answer? Did you do that? We used to get in trouble because they separated us. I sat on the very front. If I'm not mistaken, I was on the very front up here on that row, and Linda was all the way back here on this row. We took the same test in the same school at the same time, had the same answers, and the teachers said we cheated. How do you figure that? I said, well, she's sitting back there, and I'm way up here. How can we copy each other? It was first grade. So after that, they wouldn't let us be in the same class. We had to be in separate classes after that. Crazy. Okay, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, our last part, for they shall be filled. If you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, right standing with God, you will be filled. That's what the word says. If he said it, he's going to do it. If we have a strong desire for the Lord and his righteousness, we have the promise that we will be filled. Filled with abundance, filled with strength, filled with the right mind, filled with money. God's going to take care of us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to direct our paths. We're not going to fall into the ditch. We're not going to be unsaved.
Right.
It's a lie from hell to say that you make one mistake and you're going to hell.
Yeah.
If you ask God to forgive you, you're done. You're all good. That's just the way it is. He's good. So I wrote down some things. It's not really a formula, but, you know, it's a 1-2-3 type thing about being filled. If we have a desire to study God's words, we should have a desire to study God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 said, study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yeah.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I can't say I know everything there is about the Bible. I couldn't get up here and do what Brother Hall does. That's hard. You know, studying every week for a message from God. And you want a now word, not a yesterday word. You know? But if I desire and I study the Word of God, somewhere, something, that little nugget's going to be down in there. And when I need it to minister to someone else, it's going to come out. Because what goes in will come out. Number two, pray for a heart that desires righteousness and a true hunger and thirst to know His ways. We don't know the ways of God. It's far beyond our natural minds to understand. But when we pray and we ask God to show us the way, He will. He will. It may not happen lickety-split, but it will happen. Number three, surround yourself with fellow believers, encouraging one another unto righteousness. We have to assemble ourselves with fellow believers that are hungry, they are thirsty for righteousness, they're thirsty for a move of God in this house and in this house. That's how we know they're believers. Number four, worship God sincerely, because worship fuels the hunger inside of us. It fuels it.
Yes.
It makes us more hungry.
Yes. Oh my.
Sunday, when the kids were there, they had requested long before Sunday, we want sopapilla cheesecake. All of them wanted sopapilla cheesecake.
Yes.
Okay. So we ate our meal, which was nachos, because that's what they wanted. I don't care what we eat. Just tell me what you want. This grandma will fix it for you. Ma, grandma, mom. So I did. But I'm telling you what, that sopapilla cheesecake was worth going back for seconds. There was this much left, Brother Hall. There was this much left in that bowl. All the kids have gone, and Gordon and I are sitting in our easy chairs. I said, Gordon, we got two pieces left. All I got to do is cut it in half. Do you want it? He said, yeah, go get it. Didn't even have to ask. That's right. Decaf coffee, hallelujah. It was too late to drink caffeinated. Number five, acknowledge areas where you fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. Find the areas where you fall short.
Amen.
Are you not reading enough? Do you just read your favorite verse and think that's enough? It's not. We all fall short. It may be in reading the Word. It may be in understanding the Word. It may be in prayer. It may be in supplication toward the Lord. Where do you fall short? And find that through repentance. Because when we repent, something happens. It's essential, and it opens up our heart to God and causes a transformation in our lives every time. It will call a transformation in all of our minds. Sometimes I get so overloaded in my brain that I'm like, oh, Lord, you've got to help me. Sincerely. And I think it's worse for women than men. I can ask Gordon, what are you thinking about? We'll be in our chairs, you know, in the living room. What are you thinking about? Nothing. I said, oh my God, how do you not think of something? Becky, can you do that? Can you sit still and not think of anything? I say, there. I know my sister can't because she's too much like me. I can't do it. Deborah, can you sit down and... Well, praise God, she can do it. You're going to have to give me your secret there. Gordon says, just turn it off. I said, I can't. It's still screaming at me.
Just think about the next day.
That's right. Oh, well. Number six, show kindness, justice, mercy, compassion, honesty, and love. In its purest form, not a fake. We have to be kind to one another. It doesn't matter what I think or how I feel a situation might need to be. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the Lord. Because it's our responsibility to walk before the Lord humbly. That's our responsibility. It's not my responsibility to go tell my brother, you need to get your act together. And there was a time when I told him that. You need to get your act together. A lot, he said. You know, it was true, but it was because I loved him. Hallelujah. As you live out your righteousness, your hunger will grow. I said that a while ago. I think it was a different word, but as you live out your righteousness, your hunger will grow so much larger amounts. You want more of the Word of God. You want to do so much more for God. That's just what you want to do. We all have desires and goals in our lives. As a small child, Linda and I, and I always say Linda and I because it was two of us. All the time, we thought a lot alike, but we were different. We wanted to know God. We loved going to church. We loved going to Sunday school. We wanted to, as I grew older, I wanted straight A's. I just wanted to be a straight A person. And I was. I graduated with straight A's, so did Linda. I always wanted to sing. Little bitty girl. I just wanted to sing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. My mama would be underneath that sink cleaning out from underneath there, and oh, she'd just be singing that song. And me and Linda'd be in there listening. And we'd be singing in our room together. Oh, how I love him. And that's why she sang that song, and that's why, because he first loved me, I knew at that moment that God loved me, even me, Brother Hall. He loved me, being a little girl. Then as I got older, I wanted to get married, wanted to have children. Then after I had children, I wanted my children to be raised to serve the Lord. That was my goal. Teenage years are hard. Michelle, Destiny, Dominic. Teenage years are hard. But you know what? You can do it. You can do it. All you got to do is focus your eyes on the prize. Focus your eyes on God and heaven. And guess what? You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Famous line, last few years. I wanted to raise my children to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful today they do. They had their moments and their times that they weren't in church because they were about trying to figure out life for themselves. 18-year-olds, it's hard to control. They got to figure it out for themselves. They got to find their way. They got to find out what they're hungry and thirsty for. Is it the world? Is it the things in the world? Or is it God? Mine was always God. I couldn't help it. I was so hungry and thirsty for the things of God. I just wanted to go to church. I used to tell my mama and my dad, I just want to go to church. Can't you take us to church? I begged them, Brother Hall, take us to church. We'd already moved to Texas and things changed. I pursued after the things that I wanted. And I would pray until I found my place. And everybody has to find their place from that 18 to 20. 21-year-old. You got to find where you fit. You got to find what direction does God have for my life. But sometimes we have to do that, and we're old. We still have to do it. The word says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. All those things that I wanted growing up, he heard my prayers, and he answered them, and he delivered me from all my troubles as an 18 to 20-year-old, because those were hard years for all of us. If you look back and think back, there were probably some hard times for y'all. I know there was for me. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now I've got some promises and then we'll be done. Proverbs 15:9 says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." When we follow after righteousness, we are the he or the she that he loves. And in the Bible, a lot of times it says he, but he's not leaving women out. Because he is kind of the universal word for all of us. Proverbs 21:21, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy finds life." Righteousness and honor. We don't just find our lives. We find righteousness and honor to go along with it. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And I can't tell you how many things God has added to mine and Gordon's life through the years, not because we asked for it, but it was because we were seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You don't even have to ask for some things when you're seeking God. John 6:35 says, "Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." Wouldn't it be wonderful to never be hungry? Never be thirsty? In the natural, we're going to be that way, but you know what? We can find that place in the Spirit where we're never hungry and thirsty because we're continually in the Word, reading and drinking of the water. John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." It was the woman at Samaria. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life." Woo, praise God. Last scripture, probably one of my favorite, Romans 12, 1 through 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. One more chorus. I can remember as a little girl singing this at the end of the service, and so I decided we're going to sing it tonight. Most of y'all probably already know it. "Have thine own way." Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still." Let's sing it again. "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Lord, I thank you, God, for this night. Lord, I thank you for the word that you gave me. I pray, oh God, that each and every one that under the sound of my voice, that they will receive one small nugget of your word that they can plant inside their heart and help it grow. Lord, I just thank you tonight, Lord, for each and every one. Bless them as they go. Bless them as they get to their house, Lord. Bless them going and coming, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.